6:30, June 6, 2016, Land and Natural Resources Cultural Preservation Committee called to order. We have an invocation by Dale Beaver. Would you give that for us, please?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day of giving us, Lord. Lord, we just ask you that you be with us tonight, Lord, as we do the tribe's business, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you give us your wisdom, Lord, give us your courage, Lord, and Lord, just make all our decisions the best of our ability, Lord. And we just want to thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Next order of business, we got a roll call by Gacy.
Bill Proctor.
Here.
Mark Randolph.
Present.
Bill Beaver.
Here.
Thomas Yahola.
Here.
Mitch Jack.
Here.
Chairman, I got 5 present, 0 absent.
Right. 5 present, 0 absence, and constitutes a quorum. Any business transacted tonight will be valid. Next we have on the 90 is approval of minutes for May 10, 2016. I give the committee a few minutes to review that and ask for a motion.
Changes.
Motion been made to approve minutes by Dale Beaver. Any needed changes? Any second? Second by Mark Randolph. Roll call vote.
Dale Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Abstain.
Thomas Yahola.
Yes.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 3 in favor, 0 against, 1 abstain.
3 in favor, 0 against, 1 abstain. Those minutes have been approved. The next order of business we have is church and ceremonial grant or camp house applications. First one is Broken Arrow Indian United Methodist Church. Irene McHenry.
Yes.
Right here. Would you please come up here? If you don't mind, thank you.
Put me on the hot seat.
This is one of the first applications we received, and we're going to kind of go through this, and hopefully everything will be in place for you to receive what you're asking for, but I'm sure we'll have questions on this.
Okay, and also I filled out that contract, and I didn't need that because it's going to be a member of a family member of the church that's going to do the work.
Is he getting paid in any way?
Yes, I suppose he is.
If you're paying anybody anything, whether it's family member, church member, they have to have contract licenses. That has to be filled out, and they have to have the license, insurance, and all that. If you're paying someone, that's for any of this.
Did he show that on his bid?
I will have to look. Is this the one you're paying?
Yes,
Jim
Little.
I think it's just, let's look here.
I think it's stuck them in the bag.
Oh, I can't even see this. Materials is 3,000 and labor is 4,000.
Okay, that's not the one that we were going to use, though. Where's the other?
Oh, that's Perriman Reservoir.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, here it is right here. Total cost for labor and materials for this portion of the job is $54. And then there's another portion as $450. And total cost for all work listed with labor and materials will be $75.20. Is that the one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, yes, and this is from his. 7,500.
Yes.
7,520.
And the church is going to do the over.
Okay.
If we get it.
Mm-hmm. But he has filled out his contract right here. Is that right?
I don't know if he's licensed and insured.
Mm-hmm. Is he licensed and insured? We need to have verification of that.
Okay. I'll have to get it.
I mean, I hope you understand that we need to have that. That way, you know, if some work gets not completed or whatever, you know, you don't have any recourse on, you know, someone mm-hmm. doing the work for you. We want to be
able to... Yeah, I was just reading that one part, you know, mm-hmm. it said that I didn't think we needed it because it said that contracts must be utilized unless labor work is being done by the ceremonial or church members or mm-hmm. other helpers.
Mm-hmm. But if you're paying them...
Then you need...
Yes, that way, because it's just to protect you
mm-hmm.
and to protect
okay.
you know, everybody involved. Anybody have any questions?
Can you,
mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Can you understand this amount? It's $7,000.
Right. Right.
You understand
uh-huh.
that?
Yes.
Okay.
Chairman.
Yes.
I want to say, too, that when we do our grant, you know, for the churches, we've had churches, people have come in and done work for the churches and messed up things. And then they didn't have no contract. You know, they'll come in and do all kinds of shabby work, and then we have to turn around and pay more. That's why we had to add a contract.
Mm-hmm, okay.
That's what we was telling folks. It's really, and then one of our buildings, I think, was open not even a month, and then all the sewer backed up, and, you know, there's just different things. So really, it's just to protect the people.
Well, that was one reason we went with Jim, because he does good work. He does it in a timely mm-hmm. manner, mm-hmm. and he does good work. So, if I have to get that certified, when's the next meeting?
It'll be next month.
Okay.
But yeah, we need to have verification that he has his insurance and.
Okay.
That'd be up to the committee on what we need to do with that. I mean, because we need to have a completed application, because there's several people that are asking for, you know, for help.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to try to do everything we can to help, but at the same time, we want it all
legal.
Yes, and completed. And our next meeting will be on July 12th.
Okay.
Any other questions, Dale?
Yes. Chairman stated that we're kind of working this out as we go. This is a new program.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that could have been changed or maybe was a little bit confusing when you're filling this out that maybe we can help out? Maybe change some wording, or obviously there's some confusion where if the money was going to be used for a contractor, then it needed to be licensed, even though they were a church member, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we probably need to clear up that issue because there'll be probably a lot of churches that use church members with this money. So we need to kind of clear that up and make sure everybody knows that so they're not coming in here and then we got to deny them and then wait for another month.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's obviously one thing that we need to kind of clear up. So I was looking through here and I couldn't really see where that's clearly stated.
Right.
Is there anything else that maybe we could do to kind of clear up this contract? Did you see anything, or?
Like you said, sometimes it was kind of confusing, but we did the best we could to fill it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I was reading this, I thought, well, we didn't even need that part, but you say we do.
Mm-hmm.
If he's getting paid.
Hmm? Yeah, I guess, so like you said, we probably need to clarify if you're paying someone. Regardless if they are a church member, your nephew, whatever. If someone's getting paid as a contractor, they need to have that.
Okay.
That's where we kind of fail sometimes. We're paying somebody that we do know, and you know, for whatever reason, you know, they don't finish the job. You know, we got something to fall back on.
I got my two friends here. Is there anything that you need to ask?
No.
Okay.
I guess we could put that on our checklist, though. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that on our checklist of.
Oh, okay.
That we, you know, the contract needs to have copies of their
licenses
and all that stuff before they're going to be paying the contract. Because I don't see that on our checklist. So,
okay.
I guess I'm going to need to add to the checklist.
Okay. Have you, did you receive that part of that application where you see the checklist was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right here.
Okay.
It says on number 5, contracts must be utilized unless labor work has been done by the ceremonial or church members or other helpers. And the intent behind that was, you know, like if everyone was just going to pitch in and do the work, then you wouldn't need a contract.
Okay.
So anytime you're paying somebody,
regardless,
you know, then that's, yeah, you're exchanging money and we want the work to be insured. And then we were afraid, you know, how family goes. Sometimes your nephew or your niece says they're going to do all this, but then they get the money, then they don't.
Yeah.
We don't want, you know, we don't want that to happen. We want to make sure the work is done and it's done well. And that's where we've, in our other grant application, we've seen a lot of things happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was the only thing that was confusing right there.
Okay.
Can I do a little question out
there? Mm-hmm. Yes.
What if they, let's just say there's $9,000 worth of work, but they're going to use the $7,000 for equipment, and the church is going to use their own money to pay the $2,000, would they still need the contractor's licenses and all that stuff, licenses? And
can we ask Mr. Dillinger to verify that for us? Okay. Mr. Dillinger?
If they were just going to use the grant money for purchasing the materials, but they were going to hire somebody to do the work, but they say they were going to use the church's money to hire them, would they still need to bring in the contractor's licenses?
Well, I think if they're using their own money to hire them, I mean, I think that's the real thing we're kind of worried here about, mm-hmm, money being used and the work not being done. If they're using their own money, I would assume that should probably fall on them, whether they want to enter into a contract or not to bind somebody. So I think that would probably in that situation be up to them. It's just money that they're just utilizing the nation's money to use to get the equipment.
Right.
That'll be shown, I think, by receipts and there's some protection there to make sure it was done properly. So I think they would just have to make that determination in that situation.
I'll just have to
better.
Thank
you. Good. No, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions on this one? So what we, I guess honestly, what we need here is the verification of your contractor.
Okay.
How soon do you think you can get that in here? Or does he,
does he have that?
Does he have any of that?
No.
Okay.
We'd have to call him and see if he has it.
Okay.
And we could get it in. If he has it, it could be tomorrow. I don't know.
But you don't know if he doesn't have it or not. So okay. That's up to the committee on the, we need to postpone this till next month till we get all required documents in. I mean, other than that, it looks like everything is okay.
I feel that every blank there was.
Mm-hmm.
Chairman, I make a motion to pass
okay.
Contingent on them bringing in the certification.
Okay.
When they bring in the certification, then cut a check.
Okay. Okay. So what they're going to do is go ahead and pass it for tonight, but you have to
bring that stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you don't mind, get it as soon as possible.
Okay. And what's the number I can call if I tell them yay or nay?
You'll be speaking with the Gazy?
The number's on the front page. Shouldn't be.
I just have that one call.
Yeah. Right here.
Okay. All right, I will check with him, and I will let you know.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Is there a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve.
Okay, motion to approve is made by Dale Beaver.
Mark already
made it. Mark already made it. Okay.
Upon the submission.
Mitch seconded.
Okay, Mitch seconded. So, roll call vote.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Dale Beaver?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Thomas Urhola?
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion has been made to approve. P pending on your certification of your contract.
I'll let you know by tomorrow.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next item we have is Hickory Ground Number 2 Indian Baptist Church, Jerry Sumpka.
Thank you.
I hope you're listening to all that.
Yeah. Know what to say.
It looks like we have this application for you, and it looks like you got two vendors listed, and you were going to do the work. Are they paying you through this? Are you being paid?
Well, that's
right. Okay. Okay. Nobody's doing this. Oh, you're working. You're talking about the others when you talked with me. Yeah. Are you helping with somebody else?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
That's my camp.
This is your camp, yes. And you're the owner, and you're to be doing your own work.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anybody have any questions? Looks like they've got both vendors listed. They got a bid of $46.36 and $49.50. Most for due pass.
Which vendor are you going to go with? McCoy's?
I like it. Yeah, for McCoy's. I know it's a little higher, but I prefer McCoy's.
Okay.
You know, there were some things that Kennedy didn't offer.
Okay.
Like windows, you know, and stuff. So that was the things that. It's not going to be a little higher, maybe $300 higher. So they had windows, but. They had to order them and not couldn't see them, so I didn't want to do that.
Okay.
McCoy's had everything I needed and everything, so.
Okay.
I make a motion to pass for the $4,950.09 vendor for McCoy's Building Supply.
Okay, motion been made by Mark Randolph, seconded by Dale Beaver. Motion to approve. Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Dale Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Yahola.
Yes.
Chairman, got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion being approved. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all much.
Next we have on Hickory Ground, Ceremonial Ground. This is our church and ceremonial ground application for $10,000. We have Miko Thompson.
First of all, the amount should be five.
Five, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, you had listed as on the second one, but okay.
I guess we got used to the old way.
Oh,
So, in the past, we got that, not 5,000, and we just worked off of that until we got to that point. Turned in all our receipts at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And as far as the contractors go, most of the work is done by the Warriors and members of the ground. And some of the work that might involve contractor is so minute, I don't think they would even come out.
Mm-hmm.
So we do all the work ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions?
Would you kind of explain what your project is? Would you explain kind of what your project is? What you're going to do?
It's revamping some of the camps, like his camp. It's extending the cooking area, tent sheets and so forth. Some of the roofing that blew on during the high wind. During snow or tree, a lot of our camps under are under trees. lot of limbs that fell on the tin sheets and didn't damage. Just a matter of replacing them.
Another question, Chairman.
Yes.
Nicole, is it for one camp or is it for more than one camp?
It'd be for all, just a bit from each camp. We have 10 altogether.
I was just asking because I was looking at the application. Mm-hmm. Trying to think what would be better for the grounds, this to do it through this other one or to do it through this one. Mm-hmm.
Is that different?
Because they could use this for something else. Mm-hmm. They apply for the camps through this other one.
This one, to explain, this one is like for the all the grounds, all the camps yeah. together. And the other one that we're going through is for each individual. Mm-hmm. Each owner can have kind of get up to $70,000 per camp.
Oh, yeah. We probably won't even touch that.
Okay. Okay, so this is just whatever each camp needs. Okay, we just want y'all there.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, I make that a motion to approve this one. $5,000. Is that what you're asking? $5,000, okay.
Motion has been made to approve this application.
Second.
By Thomas Shaholin, seconded by Mitch Jack. Roll call vote.
Thomas Shaholin?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Bill Beaver?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Chairman, got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor and 0 against. That is approved. All the information correct on this application.
Mm-hmm.
Get the hold of you. Okay. All righty. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, next order of business is TR16-090, tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a Niagara plan of action with the Horseshoe Bend National Military Park for the reburial of associated and unassociated funerary objects from the Horseshoe Bend National Military Park. Sponsor is Mark Randolph.
Motion
do pass by Mark Randolph.
Seconded
by Mitch Jack. We're in discussion.
Chairman, I'd like to give Ms. Butler a little time to speak.
Hello?
Please come up here. Thank you. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, the tribe was contacted by Horseshoe Bend in 2004 and was told that there were some funerary objects in a funeral urn that were donated to Horseshoe Bend National Military Park. And since 2014, they've consulted with all the tribes that have area of interest around that part of Alabama. And all of the tribes deferred to Creek Nation to do the reburial. And so through the National NAGPRA process, they've filed an inventory of completion telling of what all the objects are. 2 months ago, we went down and picked a location. Our culture advisors went out there to the park to find a proper location that we thought would be safe from the public to do the reburial. And so basically, now we have the final plan of action on how the reburial will take place. And moving forward is the steps there, and we just need the chief signature to complete the process. And I do have pictures of the objects if anybody wants to see. There are no remains, they're just funerary objects and any other kind of documents you guys may want to see.
Okay. Any questions from the committee?
I got a when these items are reburied, it's not going to be publicized, right? I mean, it's not going to be, you know, newspapers aren't going to be out there and everything like that. I asked that because I just read an article, I think, last night, how like Civil War artifacts are being dug up and being sold on the black market. And so I didn't want this to be buried out there, be publicized, and all of a sudden next week it's dug up and sold on eBay. So I was just wondering if it's going to be pretty quiet. It's going to be a location that really nobody knows about, or
right. The that's one of the top priorities is confidentiality with the reburials. Only one person knows where it's going to be with the Park Service staff. And the area that we picked was not open to the public. You know, there are fire roads around the park. And we found a location that we thought was remote and that there wouldn't be any public access. Also, the park's going to be closed during the reburial.
Excellent.
Yeah. And then there's also in the plan talks about a concrete slab also put at the very end of the reburial, so to ensure that they can't be dug up in the future.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Yes. Will there be any representatives from the nation present for this?
Yes, they will. They're providing funding for two representatives to go to the reburial.
Okay, who will be the ones going?
We haven't decided yet, but for sure, a cultural advisor will go.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. Any other questions? No questions? Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Chairman, 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor and 0 against. That motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item we have is TR16-091, a tribal resolution of Skokie Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a notice of intent for stormwater discharges associated with construction activity general permit. The sponsor is Mark Randolph.
Motion to pass.
Motion to pass by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Seconded by Dale Beaver. Any discussion?
Mr. Haskell, can you speak to this? Maybe. Mr. Dillinger. I'm looking around at Mr. Dillinger's
Yeah, I believe we've had to enter into these before. I think it's just a permit we have to enter into with the state for stormwater runoff. And I believe the property that is being this is being constructed on right now is in fee status, so that's why we have to abide by getting this permit from the state. If it was on trust land, I think there's also a federal application that we would have to fill up. Right now, it's just in fee, and so it's a permit we've had to fill. I think we had to get one when we did the parking lot here in front of the complex, and so it's just a process we have to go through with the state to get permission to build up our drainage for stormwater.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any questions? No questions. Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next item we have is TR16-092, a tribal resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the execution of a self-determination non-construction contract with the Secretary of the Interior pursuant to receive funding through the Native American Affairs Technical Assistance Program for a groundwater exploration study. The sponsor is Mitch Jack.
Make a motion for due pass.
Motion for due pass by Mitch Jack.
Second.
Seconded by Thomas Shahola. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman,
this is a little bit more information on the project. It's down at the farm location. And what it is, it's accessed through the farm there. We're looking for some irrigation water. The water they're using is they need more, and so this way. If you look on that map, though, they'll have to cross a creek somewhere, and so that's where we have to get our permits to. But Martin can tell you a little bit more about the project itself.
Yeah, the resolution right now just solidifies that $32,000 that's being awarded right now through the Bureau of Rec, so that grant requires the tribal resolution, so that's why we're here right now. So that's basically it. I was going to talk with you guys later for an appropriation for some, it's about $7,700 for the pumping well and the observation wells that weren't budgeted in this right now because it was just an estimate. So that's some excess funding that we was hoping to get for this, but that's basically it. We've got top of the line drillers to come in and do these alluvium wells, and they'll the call it solar sonic drilling. It's specified for this area, this river sand groundwater, and we'll be able to get all the geotechnical data that I need to put in these groundwater models. USGS employees from Oklahoma, they're coming in to help with this. So we're gonna get sound quality scientific data that's MCNM that we can use. And then on top of that, we'll be able to see how much water we can use for irrigation and or drinking, and if we can install more production wells, bigger production wells. Right now we're looking at getting 600 to 1,000 gallon a minute irrigation well with this 8-inch PVC well we're installing. So we're gonna go from there and see what it does.
Mr. Dillinger, have you looked at this contract?
Yeah, I've just been through it briefly, but I believe it was vetted by one of the attorneys in the office, and okay. Then we drafted the legislation, so okay. It's all gone through our process. Mm-hmm.
So. All right, thank you. Any questions? No questions. Roll call vote.
Mr. Jack?
Yes.
Thomas Shahala?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Bill Beaver?
Yes.
Chairman, 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next item we have is in CA 16-091, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing an appropriation to the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Interior Affairs for the development and maintenance of the Muscogee Country Club and Golf Course. The sponsor is Mark Randolph.
Motion to pass.
Motion for a due pass by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Seconded by Dale Beaver. Discussion?
Pass.
All right.
Thank you, Chairman. Now, as we all know, we have a large piece of property here in Oklahoma, the Muscogee Country Club, that is kind of sitting out there. Muscogee Nation Business Enterprises was in charge of the property for, maybe several years. It's basically been shuttered. The entire property is kind of hanging out there. Recently, they turned the entire property back over to my department. Chief sent down a letter and said that we need to start managing the property. We do have some plans for the property. Primarily would be to look at some unique funding mechanisms similar to what we did at the council house. The property was built around 1920. It is eligible for it to be placed on the National Historic Register. The course itself was developed by Perry Maxwell. Perry Maxwell designed the course at Southern Hills, so it's a historic golf course. It was a 9-hole originally designed that way. We have some challenges associated with maintenance costs on the facility. As it is, you know, we're losing money every month. We just need to figure out what we want to do with it, even if it's something that we don't want to pursue. You know, we still need some funds to at least manage it until we decide what we want to do with it. But I think the idea is if we put on the National Historic Register, it would be available for potentially for 40% tax credits again. We can use that funding mechanism. There's also a funding mechanism called conservation easement, where actually golf courses can be utilized, and you can actually get money back as a funding mechanism where the nation wouldn't have to pony up additional money for that. We're paying about $40,000 a year in taxes on the property. Part of that was a plat on the south end. We've actually are in the process of vacating the plat. I think Kevin's office has actually contracted that work out. That'll save us about $20,000. We were past the protest period to challenge the assessment on the actual country club itself, but we are in negotiations with the county to lower the assessment assessed value. The idea potentially is, and I think Chief Floyd has reached out to OSUIT to maybe have them come in and run some culinary arts, restaurants, stuff like that out of the building, utilize maybe the First Tee program, where it becomes almost like a nonprofit. We can subsidize some of the income, and also Let me talk with the city of Omoni about subsidizing the water costs, because that's one of the big expenses. If you know we're able to maybe open it up to high school golf teams, stuff like that. So there's, we have some plans. I think they potentially could come to fruition if everything works out correctly. But we do have some challenges on the property. There's no doubt about that. It's each day we goes by, it's becoming more and more disrepair. And I'm pretty sure Mr. Dowdy's tired of mowing out there. He comes by my office all the time. So this budget, if you look at the budget, there's a pro forma budget associated with it. One of the ideas was to, once we kind of get the structure in place, is to roll it over to One Fire LLC, where they can actually potentially run it as a for-profit business. We've had some long conversations with Mike Payne. He recommended a company called Keck Golf. They're out of Tulsa. They've designed Broken Arrow Golf Course and some other golf courses in the Tulsa area. We've actually received a proposal for them. I think it's around $15,000 to do an assessment on the built on the on the on the club itself and the golf course. And other than that, you know, we have just a lot of challenges with utilities. Basically, they just walked off and left it running. All the chillers and everything inside the building are still on. We're going to have we're going to have an auction surplus some of the equipment out there. It's just everything has been rummaged through. All of the golf carts, all the batteries and everything torn out of them. All the wire. There's not much left in terms of value on the outside in terms of the structure itself, or the maintenance barn. But you know, if this doesn't pass, you know, we're kind of at a standstill on the property. So.
Okay, any questions? Yes.
How many acres is there totally?
I think it's almost 160 acres, I think. Yeah, something like that.
Okay, of that 160 acres, how many acres can you really utilize? Is there any acreage that you cannot utilize to a creek, or
there's a creek that runs across it, and seeing some of those areas we can actually in terms of this conservation easement, we could roll that into a conservation easement, and then you can get money back on that. So but yeah, there's parts of the property, you know, there is a flooding issue in the lower end on the house, right. That's repeat flooding, so there's a big creek that runs through there. Obviously they had turned into an 18 hole golf course. Our idea is to scale back to a 9-hole. The plat on the south end that they actually put together was cottage style housing, and so that they never sold any. But all the infrastructure is in place, the electric, the water lines, everything. So there's some value in the plat itself, and we probably need to replat that and make the lots a little bit bigger. That's something that we're gonna be looking at on down the line.
Is any portion of that in the floodplain?
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah.
Okay. Initially, what plans does the chief have, or what kind of a master plan? Do you have any idea how you might utilize that property?
Not really. I mean, that's what this money is for, is to start going through that process and start managing it in a better way, and start looking at the numbers and see what kind of business model it's going to take for us to make it a manageable, a profit-producing property. That's kind of the process that we want to go with once we get the funding approved.
Okay, so if you, it's in fee now, so we're paying taxes.
Right.
And if you turn it over to One Fire, for profit, it's going to continue to be taxable.
Potentially, yeah, but there's also an opportunity maybe to roll into a 501c3 that the nation holds. We potentially hope that's what the conservation easements will come in. There's been several owners. The previous owners had a difficult time making it profitable. The Muscogee Nation Business Enterprises has had a difficult time making it profitable. It's not a slam dunk project by no means. I think the issue is we own it, we bought it, and you know, it's either we go down that road and make a determination what we want to do with it, or you know, make a determination that maybe we want to sell it. And but it has become kind of an albatross around our neck, so to speak. I mean, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. I'll say that.
All right, thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Edwin, what are the taxes? You and I discussed that before. What are the taxes, annual taxes on that piece of property?
It's about $40,000. Yeah, I think it's like $39,000 something, but it's basically $40,000. The plat itself was assessed. That's basically $20,000 because we're paying a little over $200-something on every little small lot. And I can't remember how many lots there were, but there's a ton of lots, and that's about $20,000. And then the assessed value on the structure on the rest of the property is basically $20,000. So that's why we're going to vacate the plat. And once we vacate the plat, then they will that assessed value on the individual lots will be vacated, so we can save at least $20,000. And then we were past the protest period through the county to get the rest of it reduced, but before we purchased the property, they were paying about $3,000-$4,000 in taxes. You know, they made up in 1 year ten years worth of taxes on our property. And
thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, Chris, on the country club itself, the actual building. Last time I've been in there was like April of last year, and it was pretty bad then. You know, there was rain coming in, and some of the boards were already warped, you know, bowed up already. I called Shippo, and just to make sure it wasn't on any historic
registry. It's not even on right now.
So it's not even on the state or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So to actually get it, the roof fixed, get it repaired, what's the cost difference of just being able to go out to Lowe's and buy the materials compared to actually putting on a historic registry and then getting tax credits? I mean,
right.
Is there a, have you looked at those cost differences yet?
Well, you know, obviously the lure of putting it on the National Historic Register is that for the tax credits is 40%. You know, that does come with the responsibility of putting the building back the best you can the way it was in 1920. So we think that there's going to be value added. The roof itself actually was not actually leaking. There was a big vent hood that had blown off, and it had been off for several months, and water was actually flowing through that vent hood, and it was flooding basically. And they took the time to go in and put trash cans up everywhere inside to catch the water, but they never went on top of the roof and fixed the actual vent hood. So the building, we got that repaired, went out and fixed that, and the building itself is not leaking at the moment, but that's something that we probably need to look at. I mean, and take a serious look at to see if the cost associated with putting it under the National Historic Register versus just trying to rehabilitate it to something we want to use.
And what about the cemetery on the property? I mean, how does that hinder us since we own that?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure on that. I mean, that's a question I would have to look at. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right,
thank you.
Mr. Jennings.
Thank you. I'm not opposed to having someone come in and look at it to reopen it as a golf course, but as far as putting that building on the Historical Society, that's your job, and you're an Okmulgee City Council member. I've lived here all my life, but it doesn't mean anything to me, such as the council house does, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see us spending any money to fix that building other than the roof, you know. But as far as putting it on the historical register, I'm not for that. And my other question that Mr. Beaver asked was about the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? Motions for a due pass. Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Bill Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Thomas Trahella?
Yes.
Chairman Wright, 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor and 0 against. That motion passes.
Thank you, sir.
And it will be forward to BF&J for funding. Next item we have is NCA 16-092, a law in the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing an appropriation to fund the costs associated with the demolition of Muskogee Creek Nation property and buildings. The sponsor is Mitch Jack.
Second motion for due pass.
Motion for due pass by Mitch Jack.
Second.
Seconded by Thomas Yahoo. We're in discussion.
Yeah, this was brought to me by Phil Booker. Over many years, we've obtained different pieces of property, and we've had structures on there become dilapidated. The structures are, the list is on the back page in terms of the ones that are recommended to be demoed. We have to maintain a certain level of insurance on those, and the insurance is a lot higher for an empty building. There's liability associated with it. We have a lot of buildings that are being broken into. And so he came to me and asked if we could put together a budget and some legislation to begin the process of demoing some of these properties and cleaning them up. And in the long run, it'll be less maintenance on us, less headache, less insurance requirements. And the amount that's requested is, I think, is $120,000. That's based on the number of structures that we're wanting to demo. Obviously, if we can get that cost down, anything that would be left over in the budget would be returned back to the Treasury. But we estimated about $10,000 per structure, which usually from $5,000 to $10,000 would be about the average amount to demo.
Okay. Any questions?
Yes, what is the time period on this to demo all this before the end of the fiscal year or next year or what?
Yeah, no, we could demo them before the end of the year. What we'll probably do is just put it out for bid, all the structures that we identify, mm-hmm. and we put it as a package and put it out for bid and see who comes in the lowest. There's people out there, that are certified with asbestos, lead-based paint, all those things, and that, as long as they have those certifications, they can go in. It's their baby, and they have to take care of that stuff. And so it's something that we could get done pretty quick, and I think we should, because I think they're changing with the new insurance company that's coming in. That we would try to get some of these off the insurance so that we can save some money, but beginning immediately. And it's less blightful for people in those communities too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
Yes.
Go ahead. Yeah.
That's what. Well, one of my concerns was about the asbestos and not so much lead, as far as the demo goes. But I know the state regs regarding asbestos. But I think that's a good idea, though. When you bid it out, put it in the contract, that it's
right.
The contractor's responsibility for the asbestos and all that. And that way it's not our responsibility to test it, tear it out, get it done, all that before you actually demo. So, just make sure that's in the contract.
Right, definitely. And also, the demo permits and stuff like that, they're difficult for us to, there's some language in some of those permits. It's tough to get some of those through the Attorney General's office. So, bidding it out and getting a American Excavation, somebody like that come in, American Demolition, they'll do all the permits, they do everything, and so that we're just basically facilitating the process.
All right, Mark.
I was just looking at this last page. It has a list of buildings. These are the ones that's going to be.
Yeah, just the ones that say demo on them. They're these are the lists of all the properties that we own that are vacant.
The ones that say demo.
Yeah, like Sharp's building that's vacant downtown, Country Club's vacant. So, but we also have a bunch of vacant ones. And the ones that say demo to next up would be the ones that we would actually demo out.
Thank you.
And some of these will come in way less than 5,000. Some come way more. I mean, but just on average, we try to just average it out for and with any of the try to save as much money as possible with those remaining funds to go back to the treasury.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead,
Mr. Abel. As far as the demo, say like on the old Cromwell smoke shop, are you talking about tearing the whole building down, or what's going to be? Can you explain a little bit on the demos and stuff, demolition work on it?
Yeah, anyone that's recommended to be demoed, this was, you know, this list was put together by our risk management. Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, we do a reassessment. We would make sure that before we demoed anything, that would be 100% a building that we want to demo, and we would get with anybody, any of the interested parties in those areas to make sure that everybody's on board. That would be a prime example, would be the old Cromwell Smoke Shop. That's the recommendation from risk management. We want to make sure that anybody in the local community is okay with that sit too. So
that was my next question.
Yeah.
So have you reached out to the Cromwell community?
No. I haven't reached out to any of these people. This was just a list that risk management had recommended.
Oh, okay.
But we wouldn't demo anything without going through the proper channels with those local folks to make sure that. You know, we don't want anybody to have any heartburn over doing something without their knowledge, definitely.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Mr. Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Rahola.
Yes.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Dale Beaver.
Yes.
Cameron got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Thank you. Before to the BF&J funding. NCA, our next item is NCA 16-093. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to Tuckpaufka Indian Baptist Church. Sponsor is Thomas Yehola.
Motion for due pass.
Motion for due pass by Thomas Yehola.
Second.
Seconded by Mitch Jack. Discussion.
Okay, this here is appropriation for the Tuckpaufka. Tuckpaufka is located there north of Calvin. It's on the side of the river, probably about 2 miles north of the river and then back east. And it's where it's located at. And they're requesting funds to go to Falls Creek. And they went last year and I talked to them and I had asked if they had turned in the receipts from last year, and they said that they had, and they've had fundraisers, and they're still going to raise more, and they're asking for $2,500. And I called Ms. Williams, asked if she could be here tonight, on behalf of the church, and she said they were, Ms. Harrison, excuse me, they were having what GA camp this week, and also she works at a daycare and doesn't close until 7, so that's the reason that she's not in attendance.
Okay, any questions? Okay, I see it there, 9 members. Anybody have any questions on this? No questions? Roll call vote.
Thomas Shahola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Bill Beaver?
Yes.
Mitch Jett?
Yes.
Chairman, 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. Motion passes. Reported to BF&J for funding. NCA, next item we have is NCA 16-094, Law of the Muscogee Creek Nation amending MCNCA Title 5, Subsection 2-104, entitled Church Camp House Ceremonial Ground Camp Fellowship Hall Grant Award Requirements and Restrictions. Sponsors, Mark Randolph.
Motion to pass.
Motion for due pass by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Seconded by Dale Beaver. Discussion.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory if you just read it. And I would like to say that we were kind of prompted to do this by citizens. We were getting calls. I know myself and Mr. Proctor were. I don't know about anyone else, but people were saying, well, what if they do this? What if they do that? What if they do this? You know? And so we added this little amendment part. It comes from page 4-6 on the back under K. It really didn't fit with this bill. The K was included in the original bill when it was for one ladies' camp house, but as you know, this bill is just a one-time offer. You can only get it once, so. That's all I have, Chairman. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any questions?
Chairman, I just got a little question.
Okay.
Might be more for Kevin than let's just say a church doesn't turn the receipts, they lost them or just don't want to turn them in, and how do we go about getting the money back, or what's, I know it says we're full, enforcement of full restitution and related legal action. What would be an example, like what would the AG's office could do?
Well, I think we'd probably first just a letter from us asking, sometimes that's enough to move someone to turn the records over or provide the full restitution back of whatever amount's been spent, or the full amount, actually, I guess. And then if that weren't, I would assume we would file some type of a small claim against them to collect the full amount of the matter filed in tribal court. So I think it's always worth at least one trying not to have to go to court if we don't have to. So I think that's why we initially write a letter asking, if you're not in compliance with the law, please, been notified from the council, please provide the full amount by such and such time. And if that didn't go anywhere, then I think we probably wouldn't have any choice but to file a claim and try to forward.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Dale Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Chairman, I got 4 in favor, 0 against.
We have 4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next item we have is NCA 16-099, allows Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation for the purchase of a 15-passenger van to Neoka Indian Baptist Church. The sponsor is Thomas Yehola.
Motion for due pass.
Motion for due pass by Thomas Yehola.
Second.
Seconded by Mitch Jack. Discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
We have a request from the church. We have a letter from the deacon on behalf of the church asking for an appropriation for a van for the church so that they can use that for their services. And I've been to that church several times, and they are one of the remaining traditional churches as the older days were, and they still follow that same format. And when we talk about traditional churches, I think this is one of the models that we talk about, traditional churches. This is the Baptist church, and of course they still have their baptism there at the lake. You know, that's the way that the older people did it, and they still carry that on. And the men and women, they still, set apart, like was, set for our forefathers. And so they still carry on. And also they do some visitation. They are asked by various churches for some of their membership to assist them with their services. And so they gladly, accept that. They come to the church first and ask for permission. They in turn, make that request and brought for the church, and if they approve it, then they're welcome to go ahead and fulfill that. So also, they're going to attend Falls Creek this year. This is the first time that they've probably ever gone. And so they had fundraisers for that, so they're getting that in all order. So they're raising their own funds for the Falls Creek encampment. So I think they're looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to them to going. So they're here to ask for this donation. We have two ladies that are, you know, women's leaders from that church. And if you have any questions, I'm sure they'll be glad to answer them.
All right, thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can I go up here?
Anybody can go.
Thank you. Yes.
Are the churches eligible to see what the pricing would be through the tribe? You know, we got the through
the government.
Shane Holabee's mm-hmm. department.
I'm not sure about that. Would you know anything about that?
There's not like a contract or anything that's been signed with the state for that. I think it's kind of an open deal, so it would hurt to ask to see. I don't think there's anything that's been signed that just says this is just for the tribe, so I think it'd be worth
looking into. I mean, for the money, you might be able to get something, either the band they want cheaper or for the same amount of money, something a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be worth. And I don't know who would be able to, who responsibility would that be? I don't know if it'd be yours to ask Shane or somebody from, I don't know what department to ask Shane about that, but mm-hmm. I think it'd be worthwhile. But that's what I mean.
All right. Any other questions?
You got anything to say?
That a van would, you know, we have church members in Okemah, you know, we're like 11, 12 miles from Okemah, and then we have church members in Okemah that doesn't have a way sometimes, you know, and, you know, that van would be useful in, you know, going after the church members. And to Falls Creek, you know.
How many members do y'all have?
We've got a lot of members, but you mean active?
That ones that come.
Oh, God, I don't know. There's 28 going, though, to Falls Creek.
Your attendance last Sunday was what? Your attendance last Sunday was what?
She wasn't there.
I wasn't there.
I'll just say 20 to 25, I guess. Yeah.
10 maybe?
Yeah.
Active.
Mm-hmm. Y'all meet every Sunday?
Mm-hmm. Except for one Sunday out of a month, that's our visiting day to go visit other churches.
And y'all don't, do y'all have a pastor?
Mm-hmm.
Who's your pastor?
Wilson Hicks.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in visiting, I've noticed that they have a lot of churches that come to visit with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, other churches, you know, come to them, they come to their church for their services, so that's a tradition, too, that they, you know, carry on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Any other questions or comments?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Who carries the insurance? Does the tribe do that, or do they, does the church?
The church usually does, or at least that's what happened at ours.
Y'all be okay with that?
You'll
be able to cover that. Okay. Thank you.
No other questions or comments?
Roll call
vote.
Thomas
Yahola? Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Cameron, 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. And then be forwarded to BF&J for funding source. Thank you.
We're having our council meeting on the 19th, and that's what it comes before the full council for voting.
Okay.
So you're invited to the 18th or 19th?
18th.
Okay.
Okay, we're over.
We're over.
So you might spot that.
Okay, next we have this other business. Do we have any other business? It looks like we got three applications. Another business. what's yes.
This application from Thewakna, Thewakna Baptist Church. Is there anyone in that church here for this application? I believe it's Beverly Snow. Is she was here earlier. I saw her a while ago.
She was here earlier.
She was here earlier.
Mm-hmm. Is that the one that was
Is there anyone here from Sand Creek?
No.
Sand Creek. Oh, that's here. Okay, and then Bill Proctor from Greenleaf. Okay. Chairman, I make a motion that we put the one for Phyllis Newton Gibbons, Sand Creek Baptist Church on the agenda, and Greenleaf Ceremonial Grounds, have represented from there. You see the snow.
Maybe she's still out there.
So I'll make a motion to put these on the agenda.
Okay. Motion is made to add these applications for the camp houses on the agenda.
Seconded
by Ms. Jack.
There's two of them, right?
There's three of them.
To add all three of them? Though?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, motion's been made. Seconded. Roll call vote. Add to the agenda.
Thomas Chihuahua?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Bill Beaver?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Chairman got 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. The motion's passed to add these items to the agenda. And the first one we have is we can look at Sand Creek. Sand Creek, we had the representative there, yes. Here from there.
Well, I'm here to try to get funding for the camp house, on my camp house, and I'm from Sand Creek, and I'm from 3 generations there, and we just passed May 16th, 130 years there, so we're active every Sunday, Wednesdays, and we go to Falls Creek and attend to everything that the association has. And I'm here on behalf of my camp house. A big old tree fell on it one Sunday. I come to church and it was covered, it demolished the whole camp house. And that's why I'm here to try to get funding for it, for the $7,000. And it's well needed because I have a Sunday school class, 3 or 4 years old. And that's what I'm going to start using it for, my Sunday school class, because we got Sunday school classes, but it's too small for the little rugrats. They need a place to holler and move around. And I need this camp house. And it's a traditional. We keep it, you know, it's for visitors when the funeral's there. We need places to stay. You know, if they don't have accommodation, they can stay at the camp house. It's open to them. And I'm needing assistance.
All right, looks like we have everything, and you do have your
insurance
on the back page.
Yeah, the last page is contractor's insurance. And
make a motion to pass.
Second.
Motion's been made for approve this application by Mark Randolph, seconded by Thomas Chihuahua. Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Chihuahua.
Yes.
Cameron, 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That been approved. That application has been approved.
All right.
Everything's correct on.
Well, we've been in contact with each other.
Okay.
And I've gotten everything.
All right.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
God right. Bless thank each you. And every one of you.
Next item, application we'll look at is a Greenleaf Ceremonial Grounds. We have and on this one here, you're renovating several camps or one?
Just one.
Just one. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
This is our came down from my great 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 grandpa. His name was Ben Woodcole Johnson. So it is the Johnson family camp that we are needing to renovate. We've been holding the base at the base. Yeah, I guess it's the bases with strings to a church, to a tree. We finally let them trip the strings and they just fell over. Mm-hmm. I do have pictures along with it. It's a collage of what it looks like now, and we got a hold of a contractor right there that you can see. He's able to come out and took measurements and mm-hmm. what we wanted him. The estimates that we have there, that was the beginning of my grandpa. He was thinking that he could do it himself, and I barely even know what kind of wood is needed, and mm-hmm. I'm sure he hardly knows. So I talked him into going ahead and getting a contractor and letting them go ahead and renovate the whole thing.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, who's going to be overseeing the rebuilding of the camp?
My grandpa. He lives in Cromwell, so he's the one that's going to be opening the gate for the contractor to come in every day. And my grandpa said he doesn't mind staying out there because just making sure that everything that us, what we're wanting it to come out to look like to be. So he doesn't work, he's retired, so.
And what is his name?
His name is Robert Reeder, called Nico.
Okay.
Okay. My grandmother was Alice Marie Johnson.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Is
that
no? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, that's her.
$7,000. I can see it on itemized budget.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking for too.
Well, I was looking.
I guess I'll just bring.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Jim.
I was looking at the. You're going with two hands construction.
Uh huh.
And so I was looking at the estimate for the work. And on some of it here, it says iron top cooktop stove with cinder block supports, serving tables with benches, a cooking table, a dishes table,
mm-hmm.
and on here it says financial assistance will not be provided for appliances, stoves, refrigerators, ice makers, etc., and furnishings, table, chairs, dishes, etc.
Mm-hmm.
The stove top is a metal, big thick metal piece of iron. That's what he has that we lay on top of the cinder blocks. We make our fire underneath the iron skillet. So it's not a stove, it's a thick metal where it heats up the entire
It's kind of like, basically.
Yeah, I don't know what to call it.
Okay. So none of these are actual. I was making sure that just following the rules on
it. No, the contractor will be building everything by wood, by lumber.
And Chairman, the itemized quote, I don't see how the $7,000 adds up.
Yeah.
The estimates that I first got, those, the first three that we have, that was when we were going to build it ourselves. And it turned out that we don't know exactly kind of what we're doing as far as how to build everything and... I talked my grandpa into getting a contractor, and that's the contractor that I called. And he came out there and did the measurements and asked what we wanted. So this is all going towards the entire renovation of our camp, along with our porta potties and our bathroom or our showers.
I don't know because it's taking really long while. So that's why I don't know how you took it. Because it's going to be itemized.
Well, what we're kind of looking for is something from him that's listing how much he's going to be, you know, how much something costs at this, you know, you've got something here, the metal roof and the awning, you know, is that what that is, the $3,200?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess on part of that, I don't know. Go ahead, Mitch, I'll let you go ahead.
I was just going to just inform Mr. Beaver when they're talking about that stove All it is just a piece of iron or steel. And when she was talking about making those tables, it's going to be made out of plywood and 2x4s.
Oh, so everything will be made?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. They're not gonna purchase new tables or anything. It's just going to be made out of plywood and 2x4s. Is that my understanding?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Everything is going to be made by hand.
Yeah.
And all these numbers in the parentheses, are those the cost?
That's the, yes, the cost that the contractor is, has had.
Okay, we asked the other ones if they had insurance or anything like that, a license to do what they're doing here. Do you know if this one does?
He said he does. The business that I found was online, and this was his contract. He says he has a contract and he has license, and I didn't get it because I thought he, since he owned his own business, that, and it was out there for everyone, that he was pretty legit. So yeah. I didn't get.
Well, we're going to need that as a verification that he does have this and he is in good standing.
Okay.
Because it says payment up front.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate for you to pay something and
yeah,
not follow through.
Yeah.
If you just went on the internet and found somebody, I mean, do you know anything about this one?
Well, no.
Yeah. And I hope you understand this is what we're trying to protect you.
Yeah.
You know, and, that way you can get what you're needing out of this.
Yeah.
That's why we're requiring this, especially from someone that you may not have dealings with. I mean, I'd like to see something from him that says he has the insurance and has, you know, he's in good standing with what he does. You know?
Okay.
Anybody have any comments on that?
That's all I got. And is Sonny Hill, is he not licensed?
No, he wasn't licensed. That's what my grandpa thought he could have Sonny, which is his friend, build it for him. And as I looked through the contract, I seen that they had to be certified, and Sonny is not licensed. So that was their first estimates that they were going with, and that's when I talked him into.
Because we've used Sonny, and he is he's one of those carpenters that just ain't licensed.
Mm-hmm.
So and I've used him myself, because he's just right down the road from Michael Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Any comments, Thomas?
No, I was just concerned about this payment up front.
Mm-hmm.
That it's for your protection. We've had situations where they paid them up front, and then they did a little bit of work, and then that was it. And so this is all to protect you, to make sure that you get, you know, what you want with what funds that the nation assists you with.
Okay. I understand.
And the receipts when the project is completed.
Yes, and I told the contractor about the receipts and about, you know, this grant that we're going through. So he said he understands.
Do you have any questions?
No, but I'd make a motion to pass upon the contingency she brings in his certification. When she brings in his certification, proving he's licensed and all, what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all good with that?
Yeah.
Dale?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll everybody second that motion. Yeah.
Okay. One more question. I mean, I'd like to see something that's a little bit more clear in what he's doing here. Light item budget and what his labor is going to be.
Okay.
It doesn't show what his labor is going to be.
He said the $3,200 of the awning metal roof, to cut that in half, that would be his labor, which is $1,600 or $3,200.
Okay.
But I can get talk to him and let him know to have it more itemized, and his license.
Yeah, license, just something that we can see more clearly. Okay, so a motion is made to approve this application. Seconded.
Chairman.
Yes.
Since you've been with the contractor, should there be 2 weeks? Is there? I mean, am I missing that, or?
Well, that's what I was trying to I was asking earlier about that.
Mm-hmm.
I know we had them as, and what does that say on our requirements there?
It says no less than 2 bids.
Itemized quotes.
and that's not a budget total cost of repairs and renovation.
Okay. And that one that I was questioning about, it did have two. They were in the back. But this one, you only got the one bid, right? I think we really need to require two bids on this. That way you can kind of compare and know what, you know, just give basically the same thing what you want and have two people bid on it.
Okay. So like having him itemize everything on here and then taking the same items to another person?
Yeah, not the prices or anything, but just what you're wanting.
Okay.
Just kind of a description of what you want. That way they can, two different bidders can bid and see what you can get out of it. Go ahead.
It'd be like what you got there, and then go ask him Sunday.
Yeah.
And doing the same thing.
Okay.
But he's not licensed.
Yeah.
So it's just someone else a license. And if I'm not mistaken, someone right there at Okima at Parks can come out there and just give you a quote.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. You can ask for Travis, and then he'll send somebody down there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Will you have a problem getting all that stuff working? Do you need a month? Would you rather me postpone it for a month? Or would you just...
Yes, I think a month would be good, just so that way that I can let, you know, Grandpa know and whatever thing
else. That way, if you have any questions, call again, ask her, you know. And one of the reasons we did two bids is also we'd like to see people bargain.
Yeah.
You know, get more out of the money.
Okay. Yeah, we want more, you to get more, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to take my motion back, and I would like to make a motion to postpone this request until our next meeting. I don't see meeting.
Okay, motion's been made to postpone this for 1 month, this application.
Second.
And seconded by Thomas Yola. You got it?
Are you clear of what we're...
Yes.
Okay.
I understand now.
We're not trying to be difficult, but... I just hate this guy to have $500 worth of materials and then charge you $6,500 in labor or something like that. You know, it is kind of a red flag when it says payment up front. That's just a general rule. You don't do payment up front, or at least half of it, you know. So we're just trying to look out for, you know, our grounds and our churches. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, motion's been made to postpone this for 1 month. Roll call vote.
Mark Randall.
Yes.
Bill Beaver.
Yes.
Mitch Jack.
Yes.
Thomas Yohala.
Yes.
Chairman, 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion's been passed. If you have any questions, we call a Gazy and she can get a hold of us. And if you anything, we can help you as much as we can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Barbara is in Oklahoma City. Her and Van.
Van.
Yeah.
Oh, Van's up there too?
He's living with Barbara.
Okay.
All right,
thank you.
So tell Grandpa, don't be on the set time.
Grandpa's gonna be like, Tori, what'd you say? Thank you all.
You're welcome.
Did we find somebody from DeWaffley?
I think she probably didn't see her name on there. She probably left.
Oh, is that right?
Well, I told her.
Really? Okay, well. She got a pretty good thing going on here, too. Well.
Postpone it?
I guess we can postpone this 1 month. Okay, motion been made to postpone by 1 month. Dale Beaver and seconded by Mark Randall. Roll call vote.
Dale Beaver?
Yes.
Mitch Jack?
Yes.
Thomas Yohala?
Yes.
Mark Randall?
Yes.
Chairman, 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes and postponed for 1 month. That's too bad. She had a pretty good one, too. All right, now we're down to announcements. Any announcements? Chief, you got any announcements?
No, no.
You busy tomorrow?
No. Along with the councilman, don't come in.
Yeah, well.
I'll see you in the morning.
All right, and after that, next is our benediction, which will serve as our adjournment, and Mr. Randolph, would you apply that for us?
Lord, we're thankful for another day. We're thankful for all your blessings, Lord.
Thank you for your love, your mercy, for your salvation, your goodness, Lord, your forgiving ways, Lord. I ask that you just embrace us in your healing ways, that you be with us wherever we might travel, that you would look over our every thought, our every step, and our every breath, Lord, that you bless it. Clear our minds and touch our hearts. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.